بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم ليس منا من خبب امرأة على زوجها أو عبدا على سيده أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, while the world continues to grapple with the wave of immorality that has been unleashed upon us by the net and its likes and has had a devastating impact on both the fabric of our society and the institution of marriages, none can deny nor doubt that divorce has become the order of the day. I read an article that suggested the new trend that is emerging in the world is children are being raised by their grandparents. And furthermore, the author of the article writes, it might be more viable to target grandparents when conducting parenting workshops than biological parents. This is the new demographics of the world. These are the new demographics of the world. You have in a parenting workshop, it might be in your interest to send circulars to grandparents because they live in with it. They have a touch of morality in them. They have a flavor of sanity in them. So they will put their issues behind, postpone their commitments to take care of these children. I'm afraid the new modern generation will let these children hop around. I was now in Canada in the month of Ramadan. The one brother who was taking me around, a very nice, good brother there, mashallah. So whenever we went to the masjid, I see all the children running to him. Oh, assalamu alaikum, how are you, Uncle Imran? How are you, Uncle Imran? I said, no offense, are you the father here? Like, is this all okay? He says, no, my mother is the official babysitter. All these children grew up by my mother. This child spent 5 years with us, this child spent 8 years with us, this child spent 7 years with us, this child. So these children are like, they grew up in the family. So we've become family because officially my mother's job is a babysitter. And literally I'm part of their family till today. Many of them have moved on, but they come back, they greet my mother and they maintain relation. This is the new demographics of the world. Be it as it may, our time is short and I hope I can leave you with a valuable message. The Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in the hadith I have quoted before you, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ خَبَّبَ إِمْرَأَةً عَلَى زَوْجِهَا. He is not amongst us who provokes a woman against her husband, or vice versa. Who provokes a man against his wife, أو عَبْدًا عَلَى سَيِّدِهِ, or provokes a slave against his master. Today, unfortunately, the environment generally and the slogans together is provoking one against one's own partner. So part of the web of immorality is each man is living semi in a real world and semi in a land of fantasy. He's living this dual life here. Every time he logs on and he sees the access to sin to live his fantasy, do I have to contend with this woman? Do I have to put up with these issues? I think there is something else on the other side. And I'm afraid the so-called image, the so-called green grass on the opposite side has only shattered many marriages and compound the problem. Has shattered many marriages and compound the problem. Previously, people would go the extra mile, would walk so much more to make sure that that marriage works out. I was reading in the Actions of Wisdom of the great giant Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, that a husband and wife were having a discussion and it became unpleasant and there was an altercation, and then the husband asked the wife something and she went into silent mode. Now you know how is it when you want an answer and she switches off. It can obviously provoke you, especially if you're the type of a person that you want an answer. So in the fit of anger, he said, if you don't open your mouth before that Fajr Azan, consider 3 talaqs pronounced. Obviously it's not justifiable, but provoked by the situation, he now realized, and she was quite frustrated, so she's maintaining her calmness and her silence. This man is now stressed up, knocking the doors of the jurists and the scholars of his time. till finally he comes at the feet and at the shores of Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, very disturbed and perturbed. This is what has happened. She wouldn't speak, and if it's the flush of dawn and the break of dawn, three talaqs. Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh said, no, inshallah, we will rescue this marriage. I'm saying there was a common sentiment of working together to make that marriage work. This was the common atmosphere. Abu Hanifa said, what you do, rahmatullah alayh, you go to the masjid, and before Fajr sets in, you call out the adhan. Before Fajr sets in, you call out the adhan. So you call out the tahajjud adhan. When she heard the adhan, she said, alhamdulillah, it's Fajr, my talaq is over. He said, sorry, my sister, you know what? That was Subh Kadhib, that wasn't in the morning still. You have spoken before the break of dawn. Our marriage is intact. My point is not to teach you tricks and to give azan early. What I am suggesting to you is, my brother, we do get provoked and we do make utterances. We have to see how we secure this marriage. There's an incident that made my hair stand on ends as a deterrent and as a warner. This person, one day his gaze fell on a king. His gaze fell on another woman. And this is another thing to understand, that even if you want to argue the permissibility of exercising your right of polygamy, if you don't bring discipline in your gaze, it will focus on another man's wife. Even if you act within the boundaries of polygamy, how can you wed her? She's somebody else's wife. So there is no cure but to take care of the gaze. Or you want to exercise your right of polygamy, but then the person or the woman at whom you're looking is your sister-in-law. And you know it is haram to join two sisters in your nikah. On the lighter side, the husband and wife were having a chat. And then the husband asks his wife, my darling, if I pass away, what do you think? You'll get married. And I think we all go through it at some point or the other. We throw this between the two of us. And she says, no, I'll live on. So he says, with who will you live? He says, no, I think I'll just live with my sister. She's single. I'll spend my time with her. Anyway, as the discussion goes on, turns it around, the wife says, and what about me? If I go away first, what you'll do? I think I'll also just live with your sister. They say, there's only one perfect wife, and every neighbor has her. There's only one perfect woman, and every neighbor has her. I was in Sri Lanka before Ramadan. We were having some nice light-hearted, there's some brilliant brothers. So the one brother, he came to me and said, Sheikh, I have an MBA degree. I said, mashallah, fill me in. He said, married but available. Anyway, this person, his gaze fell on a farmer's wife. And he was attracted. He was captured. He was just blown away. فَأَرْسَلَ إِلَيْهَا إِمْرَأَةً وَقَالَ لَهَا خَبِّبِيهَا عَلَى زَوْجِهَا. He got a woman ready and he said, you know what, go talk this woman in. And tell her, لو صارت عندي لكسوتها الحرير ولألبستها الحلي ولأخدمتها الخدم. If she comes my way, number one, she will have 10 slaves around her. I will clad her with silk and her hands will be full with jewelry. So either she lives this life. Now this is what exactly is coming across on the net. Oh no, me, I will be patient with you. I will be wonderful. Now what's happening? Immediately my resistance levels are dropping. Because I am seeing something else with my eyes. A man who's given a better option is not working to make this relation work with his employer. Why? Because there is a better offer. Only to know that's a temptation, that's a deception, that's a delusion. So anyway, he tempted us. Some fall for the bait of beauty, some fall for the bait of wealth, some fall for the bait of social standing. I was reading in the writings of Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah. One person says, I was sitting by Sufyan ibn Uyayna, and a man came to him, and he said, أَنَا أَشْكُو إِلَيْكَ مِنْ فُلَانَ يَعْنِي إِمْرَأَتِي أَنَا أَذَلُّ الْأَشْيَاءِ عِنْدَهَا. Oh, Sufyan, you know what, I would like to tell you something. I'm having some major issues at home. In my wife's eyes, I am the most disgraced, downtrodden object, if you may call it, leave alone human. Now, the pious, they went to the direct cause. They didn't deal with the problem only. Let's go to the cause. فَأَطْرَقَ سُفْيَانُ مَلِيًّا. Sufyan rahmatullah alayhi dropped his head. And then he lifted his head. He said, لَعَلَّكَ رَغِبْتَ إِلَيْهَا لِتَزْدَادَ عِزًّا. Brother, if you don't mind me asking you, what was the motive of you marrying this woman? I think you were motivated by her social profile and you wanted to add to your honor. He said, I'm afraid that's correct. He said, but let me tell you, he who's motivated by a woman's social standing and that's the be all that gets him onto that marriage, the first setback is Allah will humiliate him in that house. من ذهب إلى العرض أبتلي بالذل ومن ذهب إلى المال أبتلي بالفقر ومن ذهب إلى الدين يجمع الله له العز والمال مع الدين. And he who runs to wealth, the first setback when he gets married, Allah will subject him to poverty and penury. And who he whose gaze is on piety and nobility and virtue, Allah will make this the perks and part of the benefit, wealth and honor will come his way. Then he said, I'll tell you of me and my siblings. I am the middle brother, Muhammadun Akbaruna, wa Imranun Asgharuna. Muhammad was the eldest, Imran was the youngest. When my brother Muhammad got married, he was tempted by this woman's social profile. So he went to her, فَبْتُلِيَ بِالذُّلِّ. I'm afraid my brother is going through a humiliated life. You go home, he doesn't look like a husband in that house. He looks like a slave. My youngest brother, Imran, got tempted for wealth. Never mind getting, his in-laws took what he had. أَخَذُوا مَا فِي يَدَيْهِ وَلَمْ يُعْتُوهُ شَيْئًا. My two brothers' marriages left me thinking. This was in front of me. So I deliberated at length before I make an informed decision. Just then Ma'mar ibn Rashid came home and I bounced it off him. I said, you know, I want to get married. But these are the two things unfolding before me. My eldest brother, my young brother. He said, my brother, remember the hadith of Aisha and Yahya ibn Ja'da, where the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَعَلَيْكَ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. Don't even consider the options. Deen is your priority. So I went towards that. فَجَمَعَ اللَّهُ لِي الْعِزَّ وَالْمَالَ مَعَ الدِّينِ. Allah gave me everything. So anyway, this man was tempted. Sahaba Allah had put such affection in their marriages that they passionately looked to the preservation. You know, sometimes you hear these Q&A questions, you would be astounded to know that where immorality, what level it has dropped to. I've heard a sister asking a question. I know it's not my husband, he's married to someone. But Mufti Sahib, is it permissible for me to desire being his wife in Jannat? In English they say, he who will not find joy at home will find it nowhere. He who will not find joy at home will find it nowhere. Make that which you have, make it work. Make it work, and how do you make it work? I got to put myself to it, you got to put yourself to it. Uthman radiallahu anhu's wife Naila, when he was assassinated, his wife Naila radiallahu anha, after the demise of Uthman, received multiple proposals. وَتَقَدَّمَ إِلَيْهَا وُجَهَاءَ الْعَرَبِ. And very prominent people came. عَلَى رَأْسِهِمْ مُعَوِيَةَ بْنَ أَبِي Sufyan. Of the foremost being Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, who in addition to being a Sahabi, the brother-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the governor of the time in the driving force. So everything was taken care of, spiritually, economically, financially, everything. What did Sayyidina Naila radiallahu anha? She said, وَاللَّهِ لَا يَقْعُدُ مِنِّي مَقْعَدَ عُثْمَانَ أَبَدًا. By Allah, my bond with my late husband Uthman was too intense. And I know his modesty. I am at liberty to venture into a new relation. But the link and the bond that I have, I don't want to interrupt or dilute this. I live like this, I walk up, stand up as the wife of Uthman on the day of Qiyamah. Then what she did was, قَدْ كَسَرَتْ مُقَدَّمَ أَسْنَانِهَا. She deliberately defected her beauty. She deliberately defected her beauty, breaking her teeth. I mean, let the orthodontist hear this. She deliberately defected her beauty to give the men a message. She's not interested in marriage. She's holding on to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Anyway, he sent this proposal to this woman. This woman is all tempted and excited. That night her husband returned. فَلَمْ تُهَيِّئْ لَهُ تَعَامَهُ وَلَمْ تُفْرِشْ لَهُ فِرَاشَهُ. So the wife doesn't prepare anything. So the husband said, مَا هَذَا الْخُلُقُ الَّذِي لَا أَعْرِفُهُ. My wife, but that's not what I know about you. This is not how we live. What is this, all this? She said, well, that's it. You better get used to the new Fatima or the new Aisha. That's it. Okay, so you know, someone came over and said, charao. Someone fingered, someone instigated her, someone put her up. Now me, I'll never do this. This is exactly what the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. he is not amongst us, or she is not amongst us, and that society is not amongst us, that provokes one against the other. The teachings of Islam is come back home. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you are attracted to a woman, come home. The woman outside has nothing more to offer you than your diligent wife at home has. فَإِنَّ مَعَهَا مِثْلَ الَّذِي مَعَهَا. While the society outside is saying, come out, she has more to give you than what your wife has. So the society is calling you out, Islam is bringing you back home. This is what happens. The woman comes, it carries on once, twice. The husband says, you know, you're provoking me, you're going to drive me into a point of talaq. So the wife says, well, that's your choice and that's what I'm waiting for. Finally, he pronounces the talaq. Now, this is the critical juncture and this is the very sore point. Many of us, unfortunately, in our fantasies, Allah forbid, look down and do some soul searching. If I go deep down in my fantasies, I have passed the 4 mark 5 times. You know, I wish I was married to this woman, and I wish I was married to this woman, and I wish I was... I have passed the 4 mark 5 times. So I really don't know what is the limit. The only thing is, I have to bring about taqwa in my life. That's the only answer. There is no answer. It's mentioned, ثُمَّ تَزَوَّجَهَا جَبَّارُ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. This tyrant gets married to the woman, and supposedly it's going to happen. The narration goes on to mention when they finally meet, respectively, the marriages break up on either end, and now Mr. Handsome gets married to Mrs. Beauty, and everything is done. When they meet in seclusion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blinds them before they become intimate. And one narration goes on to say their hands become paralyzed, leave alone having a life of intimacy, they never had a decent, able, physical life, everything collapses, and this is where the whole dream comes to an end. So what is it? We've got to learn to work towards making that marriage work. I want to share with you one incident. Time is against me and I hope I can wrap it up very quick. Amir ibn Abdullah al-Tamimi, he was a great giant, he was a great scholar. One of the, you know, sons of Basra said, one day I traveled with him. So, فَلَمَّا أَقْبَلَ عَلَيْنَا اللَّيْلِ, when it was night, نَزَلْنَا بِغَيْضَةٍ. We halted at a place where there were a lot of trees. فَرَبَطَ عَامِرٌ فَرَصَهُ. Amir took his horse and he tied it. وَطَوَّلَ لَهُ زِمَامَهُ, he extended the leash. وَجَمَعَ لَهُ مِنْ حَشَائِشِ الْأَرْضِ مَا يُشْبِعُهُ, and he got some grass and herbs and he left it there. ثُمَّ دَخَلَ الْغَيْضَ وَأَوْغَلَ فِيهَا, he then sneaked out and hid himself into this place where there were a lot of trees and he started making his ibadah. So I was intrigued and I said, let me see what the man is up to. فَقُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِ وَاللَّهِ لَأَتْبَعَنَّهُ وَلَأَنْظُرَنَّ مَا يَصْنَعُ فِي أَعْمَاقِ الْغَيْضَ. I'm curious. Anyway, when I got in there, I seen the man is facing Qibla, and subhanAllah, someone in journey, people are relaxing, someone is talking, someone is eating, and this man is facing Qibla and he's worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمَّا صَلَّى مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن يُصَلِّي, when he completed his salah, تَفِقَ يَدْعُ اللَّهَ وَيُنَاجِي, he engaged in supplication. And he said, I was green with envy when I heard the du'as he made. He said, إِلَهِ خَلَقْتَنِي بِأَمْرِكْ. Oh, these are amazing words. إلهي خلقتني بأمرك وأقمتني في بلايا هذه الدنيا بمشيئتك ثم قلت لي استمسك ولكن كيف أستمسك إن لم تمسكني بلطفك يا قوي يا متين. Oh my Allah, I am but a bondsman of yours. You've created me by your will and you've subjected me to the temptations and the trials of this world by your decree. Then you've impressed upon me to restrain. Allah, how can I possibly restrain if you don't hold me? Allah, how can I possibly restrain if you don't hold me? Allah, you created me by your will. Then by your choice, you put inclination in me. What did Sayyidina Huzaifa said? يَأْتِ عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ لَا يَنْجُو أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ دَعَاكَ دُعَاءِ الْغَرِيقِ. Oh people, a time is to come upon you. None will be rescued but the one who begs Allah like a drowning man begs Allah. Oh people, a time is to come upon you, none will see shelter and amnesty but the man who begs Allah like the one who is drowning. You know what the level of sincerity? I don't have to tell you how vulnerable the world outside is. I don't have to tell you how susceptible we are. I don't have to tell you how enticing the world is. He said, cry to Allah like a drowning man cries. Allah, you created me by your will. and you subjected me to these trials by your decision. Then you impressed upon me that I must restrain. وَلَكِنْ كَيْفَ أَسْتَمْسِكُ إِلَّمْ تُمْسِكْنِي. But my Allah, if you don't hold me, how can I apply the brakes? إِلَهِ إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَوْ كَانَتْ لِي الدُّنْيَا. Allah, you knew if I owned the entire world, ثُمَّ تُلِبَتْ مِنِّي مَرْضَاتًا لَكْ لَوَهَبْتُهَا لِطَالِبِهَا. And someone had to tell me, give this world and Allah would have been happy with you, I would have given it in charity. إِلَهِ أَحْبَبْتُكَ حُبًّا سَهَلَ عَلَيَّ كُلَّ مُصِيبًا. Allah, I love you so much that in front of your love, every tragedy has become trivial for me. Allah, as long as our relation is intact, neither the pain by morning nor the agony by evening worries me. Whether I lost a deal or struck a deal or made a deal or lost a deal, if I know me and you are intact, I am fine, O Allah. He said, ثُمَّ غَلَبَنِ النُّعَاسُ. I'm listening to this man's dua. And then he said, فَهَبْ لِي نَفْسِي. Allah, I'm asking you one dua. Give me control over this ego of mine, Allah. Give me control over this wicked ego that is just driving me towards evil. He said, ثُمَّ غَلَبَنِ النُّعَاسُ. Then I fell off to sleep. فَأَسْلَمْتُ جَفْنَيَّ إِلَى الْكَرَى. وعامر ما زال في صلاته ماض في عبادته. And occasionally I will get up and this man is still crying. حتى بدا له الفجر, until the flush of dawn and the break of dawn. And then I see him making a dua. اللهم ها قد أصبح الصبح وطفق الناس يغدون ويروحون. Oh Allah, it's morning now, the sun has risen, people are going to and fro, people are going to work, يبتغون من فضلك, and everybody is asking you for his respective need. وَإِنَّ حَاجَةَ عَامِرْ عِنْدَكَ أَنْ تَغْفِرَ لَهُ. And oh Allah, my need is the very same one I ask you by night, even at the break of dawn. My intention hasn't changed. Forgive me, oh Allah. اللهم فقضي حاجتي وحاجاتي. Allah, accept my prayer and accept their prayers. اللهم إِنِّي سَأَلْتُكَ ثَلَاثًا فَأَعْتَيْتَنِي إِثْنَتَيْنِ وَمَنَعْتَنِي وَاحِدًا فَأَعْتِنِيهَا. Allah, I've been asking you these three things for a very long time. I beg you, my Allah, you've kindly accepted two. Out of your right, you've declined one. I'm asking you, approve the third one also. And then he said, Ameen. And when he stood up, his gaze fell on me. And I was at a distance. And he was obviously humbled. Again, I'm saying, how lucky. He was off guard, caught in ibadat. I'm afraid, my brother, you're walking out of a casino and someone spots you. You're walking out of a club and then you're taking shape, you're taking shelter. Where do I look? Oh, who's that? But what are you doing then? What am I doing? That has become the order of this ummah. Where was he caught? Quietly making ibadat, and then his gaze fell. فَجَزِعَ لِذَلِكَ أَشَدَّ الْجَزَعَ. So he became very uncomfortable. And he said, أُسْتُرْ مِنِّي سَتَرَكَ اللَّهُ. My brother, please don't tell anybody about my du'as. The pious is to say, don't tell them about my good, and I won't tell you, tell them about your goods. What was their life? Today it's the direct opposite. You don't tell my wife, I won't let your wife know. I'm afraid this is where this ummah has fallen. They say those that come after you will be better than you or worse than you because of you. You can hide from your son, but there is a system of Allah and there is a wheel of Allah that is turning. They talk of jinns in the medical world. The jinns are being transmitted. Duck and dive, lie and connive, deceit and deceive. You will see your evil being transmitted into your progeny. Think of the price of evil you are paying. For that 5 minutes of pleasure, for that 10 minutes of indulgence, you are allowing promiscuity to set into your generation, into your progeny. He said, my brother, please conceal. He said, I'll only conceal if you tell me your three du'as. He said, don't hold me ransom, my brother, please. He said, okay, I will tell you, but you don't tell anyone. He said, لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ أَخْوَفَ عَلَيَّ فِي دِينِي مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. By Allah, he was a tabi'i, he's in sahaba. He said, the thing that bothered me the most in my life where I'm going to slip and fall is woman. This thing's been playing on me since I know myself. And I have been at my best begging Allah that Allah solve this. Allah, I need to cross this bridge. Allah, I need to mature this hurdle. Allah, I need to move on with this. This thing is holding me back, my Allah. I need to cross this. And I beg my Allah and I beseech till Allah brought that day. I remain a human, so there is temptation, but Allah has given me absolute calm. Let me explain to you, the temptation is not going to go, my brother. A man fasting in Ramadan, it's extremely hot. Humanly, you will incline towards cold water. But would you entertain the thought of breaking your fast? Never. That has to happen. The urge has to happen. That's human. But you know, you've disciplined yourself. This control over my life. Iftar time, I will be drinking. I will go home and Allah has given me my partner and I will spend quality time with my partner. He said, I have been begging Allah and Allah has given me victory over this and I have conquered this hurdle and I'm done. The second thing is I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah akhafa ahadan ghayrahu fastajab li. Allah, I'm tired of fearing this one and being afraid of that one. Allah, free my heart from these fears and anxieties. I want to be moved by your fear. I must toss in the night by your fear and that's it. And Allah has accepted it. My last dua that is still left, you know what, been suspended. I'm asking Allah to free me from the need of sleep so I can worship Him by night as I worship Him by day. But Allah has denied me this and obviously rightfully so because it is a human need. I am saying, my brothers, the people like this here, let me leave you with this here. Yusuf alayhi salam. Oh, I read this, it made my hair stand on ends. Every form of proof the Quran testifies on the nobility of Yusuf. Just follow my thoughts here in quick time. Allah gives testimony to the piety of Yusuf. كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ. Thus do we avert immorality and vice from Yusuf. The woman that seduced Yusuf, she confesses her wrong. وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ فَاسْتَعْصَمَ. I seduced him, he didn't respond. The general testimony of the woman of Egypt, مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سُوءٍ. We cannot flaw or blemish the character of Yusuf in any way. An infant while drinking milk, وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. A baby drinking said Yusuf is innocent. Nay, scholars write, even the devil testified that Yusuf is innocent. What did the devil say? لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will mislead everyone, إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. But your selected servants, Allah, they won't fall prey to my temptation. And the Quran said, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. That Yusuf is amongst the selected servants. Five accolades, five testimony in the favor of Yusuf. The opening verses of the 13 juz of the Quran, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. Yusuf alayhi salam says, notwithstanding all this, I still don't consider myself immune and safe. I still don't think it's over for me. Allah's testimony, the woman's confession, an infant speaking, miraculous testimony. Wuhayb ibn Ward rahmatullah alayhi said, لَأَنْ أَغُدَّ بَصَرِي أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ تَكُونَ لِي الدُّنْيَا مُنْذُ خُلِقَتْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَفْنَى فَأَجْعَلُهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. I will prefer being given the divine ability to drop my gaze then own the entire world from its inception to its point of destruction and then to give everything in charity. I will prefer, my Lord, you give me the ability to drop my gaze and you give me the strength to master the courage than giving me the whole world coupled with the ability of giving it in charity. I will opt for the latter, for the former and not the latter. Allah inspire us all and save our marriages and make us good role models. Wa akhiru da'wana.